You take your Bibles, please, tonight, and let's turn together to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be in and around that particular chapter, and I'm going to be reading some from the Amplified Bible. This morning, we brought the last of our series that we've been doing on the theological themes of Luke and the letters that he wrote to his friend Theophilus. And there's one passage that the Lord just really worked in my heart and life in as I was studying for that series. And Luke chapter 15 is one of those special chapters in the Word of God. And I want to read several verses from Luke chapter 15 from the Amplified. And I would like for you to follow along as we consider this phrase, "This man receiveth sinners." This man receiveth sinners. Verse 1 of chapter 15. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners, including non-observant Jews, were coming near Jesus to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began muttering and complaining, saying, 'This man accepts and welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, searching until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he gets home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance." Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive your word tonight. We thank you for this passage of scripture that stands out in your word as the Lord Jesus Christ sought to expose those who were seeking to say that he was doing something wrong in reaching sinners, but that is exactly what you came to do. You came to seek and to save those who were lost. I pray that you'd open our eyes to the wonder of this glorious phrase that was meant to mock, but instead revealed the true purpose of the Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I think it's important for you to know what happened just previously in Luke chapter 14 that led to this unfolding of this event here, where the chief Pharisee was there and attacked by murmuring and complaining, muttering off to the side about what this Jesus was doing. He's eating with sinners. He's talking with sinners. These tax collectors and those, as the Amplified bring out, the non-observant Jews and sinners, as they were called. He was conversing with them. He was eating with them. And these were people that were part of a meeting that took place in Luke chapter 14. If you'll turn back to that chapter at the early part of that, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." They were watching him, not because they wanted to learn truth. They wanted to try to catch him in some way to discredit him. These were the religious leaders of the day that were seeking to do that. "And behold, there was a certain man before him whom had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?' And they held their peace." Now here Jesus turns the tables. He knows that they're watching him. And he turns the tables and says to them, "Is it lawful for me to heal on the Sabbath day?" And they held their peace. "And he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, 'Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?' And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to them." And you have all of the different parables that are given. You have the Great Supper. And he reminds them that when they invite people, they're not to invite just the rich and the wealthy. Verse 12 says, "When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither the kinsmen or thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, that thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, he's talking to these people that came to watch him. And throughout chapter 14, we see our Lord speaking to them. And they're still there watching him when you come to chapter 15. And they drew near unto him, verse 1, him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now these are the people that he talked about in verse 14 that you're to invite to come to the dinner. All right, that's the picture that's given. Those that are the blind, the poor, the maimed, the lame, those are the ones. And we find here that he invites publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. That's an interesting word in the Greek language. It's one of those strange words that you don't get to memorize a lot in the Greek training. But it's one of the funny words. It's dia gogizo. All right, dia gogizo. The root word is gogizo. Dia meaning through. All right. Gogizo is the idea of the cooing of a dove. Gogizo, the cooing of the dove. The repetitious murmur that you hear. How many of you have been awakened in the morning to hear some dove that's out there making that noise, you know, just it's out there. There's not really anything intelligible about it. It's just noise that's being made. That's the picture here. They're over there talking about, what is he doing? They're just murmuring and complaining about what's taking place here. And then they say these words, all right? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now what they said was intended to mock, but what they said was really the expression of the purpose why he came from heaven to this earth. He came to receive sinners. And by the way, that's all that's on the earth is sinners. And God transforms them and makes them into saints and sons and daughters. That's the picture that we have here. I want us to focus tonight in our few minutes that we have together on this phrase that was intended to hurt, but instead revealed the true identity and purpose of the Savior. I want you to observe the condescension of Jesus, the Son of God, coming down to this earth to receive sinners. Think about all the glories of heaven. Think about the fact that God's will right now is being performed in heaven, always has been and always will be. Is God's will always performed on earth? No. I mean, there's evil present. There are those that reject God's will. Now, His overarching will be performed. His plan will be performed. But in individual hearts, many times His will is not performed. They seek to do their own will. But here we find that in heaven, His will is performed every day, every hour, every second. His will is being performed in heaven. And our desire, our prayer, is that God's will would be performed here upon this earth. Jesus left the glory of His position, took upon Himself flesh, morphe, incarnated as a human being, lived here upon this earth without sin. That condescension, folks, expresses something that you and I are familiar with, but something that we need to be reminded of, and that is love. Love was the motivation for Him condescending, leaving aside all the prerogatives of His deity, taking upon Himself human flesh and dwelling among us, that He might know us, yet without sin. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. Oh, how we need to meditate on this thing. The one who towers over all other men, the holy, righteous, harmless, undefiled, the one who is separate from sinners, this man receiveth sinners. That's condescension. That's Jesus Christ becoming like us, yet without sin, receiving us unto Himself. This man, who is none other than the eternal God, before whom angels bowed, this man receiveth sinners. I want us to meditate on that tonight. What does that entail, this receiving of sinners? That the religious group, the chief Pharisees, mocked and murmured about. We would never do that. We would never go and eat with those sinners over there. And yet that's who they were. The Pharisees were sinners. Our Lord received them and then ministered to them, seeking to deliver them from their what? Their sin, to change them. Not to allow them to stay in the same state, but to bring them to believe on Him and be wonderfully transformed and changed. That's the idea and aspect of the receiving of sinners. His desire to change them. Now, God has given to every individual a sovereign will. Do we understand that and know what that entails? I have a sovereign choice. I can choose to receive the Savior, or I can choose to reject the Savior. God, in His infinite wisdom, before the foundation of the world, determined that He was going to give to mankind the ability to choose Him or reject Him. He didn't create robots. That's the point. He created individuals that had a will and could choose to receive or choose to reject. You know, the Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many are on that road, we're told, but on the narrow way, few there be that find it. There are most who will reject the glories and wonder of Jesus Christ, the matchless Savior of sinners. But there are some who will receive Him. Jesus reaches out to all. That's the glory of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever, individuals, receive the truth. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This man receiveth sinners. What they intended to bring out as a fault in our Lord was in reality the glory of our Lord. Once again, the religious leaders got it wrong, though they stated it correctly. Isn't that amazing? That's why the Lord says that He can take the wrath of men and change it to bring glory unto Himself. That was their wrath, their murmuring and complaining to each other that this man would sit and dine with sinners and converse with them. Oh, how terrible, how awful. But that's exactly what the Pharisees needed. They did not understand the depth of their iniquity. That's why when we pray for people that are lost, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would do a work in their hearts and lives to bring them to the place of their need of the Savior. To understand that they must not reject this glorious one. They must receive Him because He has reached out to them. He has sought to receive them. I want to continue. Not only do we see the condescension of our Lord mentioned here, but also His desire for these individuals. He condescends to help because He doesn't want them to stay in the condition that they're in. You know, there's been many, many times over the years that we've had individuals that our ministry has helped, that were in very difficult situations. And our ministry reached out to help them and to encourage them and to lift them up. That's part of the ministry of the church, to reach out and help whenever there are times when people are at their wits' end. That in many cases, it's because of their own doing that they're at their wits' end. But we can be available to assist and help and pray in that moment of need. That's what we ought to be. We ought not to be isolated. We ought not to be over here pretending like nothing is going on in the world. We've got to reach out. We've got to receive others as well. The Lord established a pattern here, constantly reaching out. Do you know that He ministered to Judas over those 3 years, seeking to see him come to understanding? Judas chose otherwise. Judas chose to reject, and he ended up a suicide. How sad to have known the truth, to be received of the Lord, and yet reject that reception. It's an awful thing to reject help. I have seen that happen so many times where help was offered and that help was turned away. And as a result of the turning away of that help, they went further and deeper into their situation. I think all of us can give testimony of individuals that we've tried to help, tried to lift them up, and they in turn rejected that help. I don't want that help. And as a result, ended up with all kinds of things. What does God do? What does Christ do? He receives sinners. He receives sinners. He doesn't go and wail, oh, you were given truth before and you went away from it, I'm done with you. No, that's not our Lord. He receives sinners. These individuals, who knows the backgrounds of those people that He ministered to that day? That's recorded in Luke chapter 15. We have no idea of the backgrounds. We do know this, they were sinners because they were identified as sinners by the Pharisees. And we know they're always right. Correct? Yeah, the Pharisees are always right. No, our Lord received them unto Himself and received the ire and the hatred of none other than religion. Religion rejected that. We need to be careful in our ministry that we as individuals reach out to others that we know and receive them with the purpose of giving them the gospel so that they can have their lives transformed. This is such an important aspect of our ministry as Christians. Am I the type that push people away, or am I the type that seeks to reach out to see friends and family and neighbors come to faith in Jesus Christ? We have that perfectly pictured by our Savior, mocked and hated by the religious sect, but nonetheless was the one who would seek to defend. Now, it's interesting that there are three parables in this chapter to illustrate the receiving of sinners. Very quickly, I want to share these in our final 5 minutes here. I know it's, is that possible? Brother Lynn's laughing. He doesn't think that's possible. Notice the first of these. And by the way, all of these are pictures of those who are left or lost from home. I want you to see this. These three, they have either left or are lost to home. The first one, a man who has 100 sheep. And he loses one. Now, if I was a shepherd, I'd say good riddance. All right? That's one less I have to deal with. That stupid sheep went off. But no, not this person. He loved that lamb. He left the 99 and he went after to find that one sheep. And when he found the sheep, what does he do? He rejoices and calls his neighbors to rejoice. Have you ever gotten a call from a neighbor? Hey, our dog came home. I am so thrilled. And they said, we were so hoping that dog ran away. That dog that barks 24/7. We've all had that experience before. But here's this man, this lamb who has left the fold. Are you following? Where's he supposed to be? That lamb's supposed to be in the fold. But the lamb is left. And the shepherd goes out and looks for the lamb, and he finds him and puts him on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors and saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now, what is that expressing about the shepherd here? Number one, he cares about every sheep that's in his care. He cares about every one of them. And he goes out to receive them back into the fold. They've run off. They've left. But this one goes. This shepherd goes because he loves and cares for the sheep. And he goes and brings him home. Second parable, real quick. Notice here, a woman having 10 pieces, verse 8, of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Is that what she does? Yes, that's what she does. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, what do we see in this one? The loss of a coin. She had 10 coins. She lost one. So what does she do? She gets a light and a broom. And she starts to clean. And she's looking with the light underneath all the dark places, looking for that one coin. I can identify with that. I have thrown coins up into my little coin dish that I have on my chest of drawers, and it's rolled right out and behind the chest of drawers. So I go get my flashlight, and I go looking for that quarter. Now you say, why do you bother? My wife's going to find it. And if she finds it, it's going in her coin bin. So I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to go look for it. I'm going to find it and put it back in my bin because she's going to take it. All right? So I go look and find it. And I've crawled around with the dust bunnies with my flashlight looking for that quarter that was down there. And sometimes it bounces and goes places that only a quarter can go. How many of you have noticed that? I mean, those things grab wings and they fly all over the place. And you go looking for them. Now, I don't think I've ever, when I found my quarter, went and ran over across the street to Chris and said, hey, Chris. Yeah, he would charge me for telling him. Yeah. Hey, Chris, I found a quarter. Now, Chris, what would be your response if I showed up at your doorstep and said, Chris, I need to see you. I just found my quarter. Yeah, yeah. Truly, truly spoken, that would be his first response. Secondly, would be call the police because Todd has gone nuts. But here the picture is she found something of value to her that was out of its place. It was not among the 10 coins. Now there's one less. Are you seeing? It's gone from its home. And she rejoices when it comes back into her home for her coins. Showing here that she was diligent in finding that. And then finally, we have the parable of the prodigal son. We spent time talking about that in a previous message in Luke. I won't belabor the fact, but what you find there is a son who willingly leaves home. He takes his wealth and he goes away. He squanders it. He ends up in a pig pen. He realizes that his servants back home get fed 3 meals a day. They're taken care of by his father. He said, I will go back to my father and I will ask him if I can be one of his servants. But when he gets back, his father's waiting for him and welcomes him not as a servant, but as a what? A son. And breaks out the ring and the robe and kills the fatted calf. What's the picture there? It's a reception, a receiving of this one who had left the home, the fold, and went away, squandered everything. He's welcome back home. But not everybody's happy about that. The oldest brother, he's not happy at all about that, and he expresses his hatred for what's taken place here. How dare you treat him this way? How dare you receive him? Because you see, the human heart is not in the reception business. The human heart is in what's best for me. And so these three parables illustrate a losing or running away or being lost from home, willfully leaving the son, willfully leaving the lamb, welcomed back home when found. This man receiveth sinners. I want you to walk out of here tonight with a voice of praise that he received you, that he received me. We can talk about you know, how sinful we were, but what's most important is that we were all received by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to be in the business of being faithful ambassadors, taking up that ministry of reconciliation, that receiving of those that are lost. Not everybody wants to be received. Understand that. There are going to be those that push back. There are going to be those that want nothing to do with us. And we've experienced that on a regular basis. I've experienced it. But I want you to understand that everybody has a sovereign choice, but we have a sovereign Lord that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Father in heaven, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that Luke told his friend Theophilus that the Lord receives sinners. Though this phrase was mockingly given by the Pharisee, the chief of Pharisees, yet it was true. Our Lord did come to receive sinners. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and that you would tenderize us with your word, that we would be seeking others to share the gospel with them. We have neighbors and friends and family that need to be saved, and they need to know that we love them and that we want to see them saved, that they not continue in their own way, but rather that they would go in the way of the Lord and that they would find the truth that delivers from sin, the righteousness of Christ. Father, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we would have the same care and compassion for those that are lost all around us. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.